God, listen, wants to give you grace, but instead of giving it directly to you, he gives it to the people he's put around you. I need you to understand something, friends. Look around for a second. This is a gold mine. There is a gold mine of wisdom. There is a gold mine of patience. There's a gold mine of prayer. There's a gold mine. Everything you need to do, everything God's called you to do, he's tucked in the people he's put around you. And I hope you guys have been enjoying this series that we've been in. The series is entitled Eureka. It's the California, on the California state seal, it says Eureka. Anyone ever seen that before? Just pretend you have. Give me four hands. Four, can I get three hands? All right, we've seen it. And why do we say that? Eureka means I found it. And the reason we put that on our state seal is because one of the, California was actually expedited in how fast it became a state because of this thing called the gold rush. And we found in California gold. And when we found gold, there were people from all over the nation and world that rushed into California to find this treasure. And here's what they were thinking, is if I could find that one thing, it'll change everything for me. And I think in life, a lot of us are in pursuit of treasure, that one thing that will change everything for us. And what we've discovered in this series is Jesus actually tells us where that treasure is. In other words, you don't have to wonder. He actually says, I'm going to tell you where it is. I'm going to tell you how to find it. Like, there's one thing that matters more than anything. There's one thing that will change everything for you. And Jesus said in the book of Matthew, he says, here it is. Listen, you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. And the second is like unto it. In other words, and here's where we're going to go a little bit today, is the second is in harmony with it. The second is integral to it. In other words, when you're doing the one, you got to be doing this other. And if you don't do this other, you can't do the one. And what is that, Jesus? Well, he says, you love the Lord, and then you're to love one another. They support each other. You can't fully love God, or really, really love God. You can't really grow in your relationship with God unless you're really growing in your relationship with others. You can't really pursue God unless you're really pursuing one another. Oh, you don't even know what we're about to get into right now. So first week, we talked about fool's gold. There's a lot of other things out there that are going to try to gain your attention and get you to pursue after them. They're going to promise you the world, but always deliver far less. And so we talked about not getting distracted. Don't get distracted by individualism. You need each other. Don't get distracted by the things that would pull you from God, the temptations that would pull you from God. So there's fool's gold. You need to know that. All that glitters is not gold. So we talked about that first week. And last week, again, Pastor Trey brought a brilliant message. And X marks the spot, telling us how to pursue after God. Well, here's what I want to do today is I want to take some time, because we're going to do this together as a family. We're going to live in and pursue after everything God has called us to pursue after. So we're going to pursue after God, but today I want to talk to you about how do we pursue after each other? In a message I've entitled, Gold Mine. Gold Mine. I want you to know that right now, you are sitting in the midst of a gold mine. That all around you right now is the treasure that Jesus intends for you and I to discover. It's in one another. I'm going to say something that I don't think a lot of people realize or even will fully comprehend when I say it. It's true. It's biblical. I'm going to show you it's biblical truth. But a lot of us don't think this way. And because we don't know this truth, we then therefore don't live in, the treasure that God really desires to give us. Like a lot of us are, some of you are shortchanging yourself because you don't understand this principle. And here's the principle, and we'll back it up scripturally. The principle is this, is that we grow spiritually, somewhere in here, we grow spiritually, relationally. Listen to me. You grow spiritually, how? Relationally. In other words, if you're not growing relationally, you're kidding yourself if you think you're growing spiritually, because you can't grow spiritually unless you grow, someone say, relationally. In other words, if you're going to grow here, you've got to grow here. If we're going to do this or do that, we got to do this. And if I'm not doing this, then I can't do that. I don't think a lot of people understand that. We think I grow in my relationship with God. How? I show up to church, I take really good notes, and then during the week, I work really hard at all the notes I took. I go and I have my own personal, private Bible study. And, you know, I don't even, there's some people that even got this place, like, I don't even need the church. Oh, I love God. How many of you heard this before? I love God, I just don't like the church. Give me, oh, hello? When you give your life to Jesus, what he does is he brings you into the church. He says, you need the church. You cannot say, if you love God, then you're going to love his church. Why? Because the church is the center of his attention and affection. The church is what this is all about. The church is what Jesus is building on the planet. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It's what Jesus is doing on the planet, the church. So you can't say you love God, but I just don't, you know, I'm not into the church thing. Well, the church thing is how you love God. Love God, how? Love others. We grow spiritually, relationally. Let me show it to you a few places in Scripture. First one is this in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14, 15. It says, Christ himself, actually this is up before, I think this is Ephesians 4, around 9. It says, Christ himself, that's okay, go back. There we go. Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the teachers, the pastors, and the teachers to equip the people for the works of service. Other versions say to equip the saints for the work of ministry, so that the whole body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in faith in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Isn't this interesting? God's saying, here's what I want. I want the church to mature, the body of Christ to mature. How? Well, I gave some the gift of pastoring, some teaching, some prophets, some evangelists. I've given these gifts to the church so that they can grow. So the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. God wants maturity. How do we get there? Ready? He goes on to say, that maturity looks like this. We're mature when we no longer are infants tossed back and forth by the waves and are blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by every cunning craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Hold on for a second. Your maturity, when you're not just being tossed and around, when you're not running over here and believing that and running over here and, well, maybe I believe in this and you're not, a lot of us live that way. We're just being tossed around. We have no anchor. In life, you're running over to this thing and over to that thing, and then that thing doesn't do it, so I'm going to come over to this thing. And he says, you're being tossed around. And this is a description of a lot of people. Come on, I'm describing some of us right now. We're just being tossed around. And God says, no, we need to anchor you. Maturity is when you're anchored, you're not being tossed and thrown around by, and it's just the different thoughts and schemes in the world. The patterns of the enemy, you're not falling prey to that. Well, how do I get to that maturity? Here's where it is. Instead, you're speaking the truth to one another in love. Or you're speaking the truth in love is where you will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body. Do you see that? If this isn't happening, speaking the truth in love, then that's not happening, maturity. I can't have maturity in my life, let me break it down for you this way, unless I've got people in my life who speak the truth into my life through this filter of love. Come on, do you see it? How do you mature? You need some people that can look you in the eye and tell you the truth. You need some people who've been gifted to teach, who've been gifted to speak over your life, who've been gifted in mercy, to be able to come and to say, can we talk, to love on you? Can I tell you something? That doesn't happen if this doesn't happen. Maturity doesn't happen until relationship happens. You're not there yet. Okay, hang on. Let me show you another verse. Maybe this will help drive. And this is all over Scripture. So we're actually going to spend this week and next week. It's over in the book of Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. Let me see if I can help us understand this even more. It says, the end of all things is near. Aren't you glad you came to church today, everybody? Yeah. It's all over. And there's a reality to this. I love the fact that in Scripture, God always wants us to have this the sense of urgency. I think a lot of people are just waiting. I'm gonna wait. You know, someday I'll get involved in church someday, but someday. I'm waiting. Scripture says, listen, I need you to live with a sense of urgency. The end of all things is near. How many of you know when you have a sense of urgency, there's I make up a word, but there's things that become of more importancy, right? Like when you realize I don't got a lot of time left, all of a sudden there's clarification, isn't there, on, okay, what's important? Have you seen those clocks that count down? You put in how old you are and your weight and your height, and then they tell you how much time you have to live. That's what I'm talking about, right? So you wake up in the morning, you see what time it is, and then you see how much time you have left, and it's counting down. Talk about like motivation. I gotta get my stuff together. I gotta stop wasting time. If I could just put a clock up, like, this is what Scripture's doing, putting the clock. Hey, buddy. The end of all things is near. Like, you don't got a lot of time. You need to make the main thing now. Okay, so what is the main thing? Well, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be sober and alert that you may pray. Pastor Trey covered this last week. You need to press into God. You need Jesus more than ever. You need to flourish in your relationship with him. You need to be leaning into, you're talking to him, you're walking with him. Like, you need Jesus, amen? Okay, got it, check. But above all, how can anything be above that? You just said, like, we got to pray, we got to lean into Jesus. Let's just stop there. Can't we just stop? If the end of all things is near, therefore stay close to Jesus. Let's all go home. And he says, you don't get to go home yet. Why? Because above all. Someone say above all. Love each other deeply. Because love covers a multitude of sins. He goes on to say this. Offering hospitality to one another without grumbling. Watch why we need each other. Because each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Someone say grace. Someone say gift. Someone say gift. Someone say grace. Here's what God's saying in this passage of Scripture. You and I need grace. Anyone need some grace? You know what grace is? Grace is your ability to do all that God has called you to do. Grace is your ability to move forward. Grace is your ability to mature. Grace is your ability to thrive in everything that God intends you to thrive in. I mean, anyone want that for your life? Okay, I'm preaching to four people right now. Come on. Anyone want that for your life? I want grace. God, if grace is what I need, then give me grace. God says, I'm going to give you grace. But did you notice where God puts the grace? God puts the grace you need, the grace you want for your life, in the people put around your life. Do you see that? God says, you need grace, but I'm not going to give you grace. I'm going to give them grace so that they then can give you grace. The grace you need is in the people that God's put around your life. The wisdom you need, where do you get it? You can go to God, but you know what God's going to say? I'm going to send you to them. Because the wisdom you need, come on, God put in them. And the encouragement they need, God has given as a gift to you. And oh, and by the way, dear married, young married couple, the tools you need to figure out this thing called marriage, God has put he's packaged it in a grace that he's given to this older couple that's already walked through all of those things in this thing called marriage. And if you don't press into them and you're going to God saying, God, give me the grace to figure this out, God's going to say, I've given it to them to share with you so you could figure it out. You see, are you getting this? God, listen, wants to give you grace, but instead of giving it directly to you, he gives it to the people he's put around you. I need you to understand something, friends. Look around for a second. This is a gold mine. There is a gold mine of wisdom. There is a gold mine of patience. There's a gold mine of prayer. There's a gold mine. Everything you need to do, everything God's called you to do, he's tucked in the people he's put around you. That's what Scripture's saying. God has given his grace to the body, and you can't experience that grace unless you lean into that body, until you figure out how to do this. You know what this is? It's just called community. It's relationships. Godly friendships are the place where God's manifold grace, in other words, every kind of grace for every season, is given and received in the context of community. I'm going to say it to you this way. You might be one friendship away from a breakthrough. So like you're going, I need to break, God, I need you to, and if you would just show up in them, and God, if you, and God's going, I'm going to work in your life through a friend. I'm going to work in your life through the body of Christ around your life. And if you don't press into the grace that's tucked into the people around you, you may never get that breakthrough. See, you, and here's what we do. We think, I need something else. And God goes, no, you don't need something else. You need someone else. There's people, you see, that you need who are in the body of Christ. You grow spiritually. Someone say relationally. Relationally. So if that's true, and it is, it's all over Scripture, we need each other. If that's true, and it is, then you would think that we're going to be real good at relationships. If that's true, then the body of Christ should be more focused on building relationships than ever before. If that's true, then the church should be the place where relationships are flourishing in the body of Christ. But you know, the sad reality is that that's actually not true. The thing that we should be really, really good at is often one of the things that we become really, really bad at. And I'm not saying that every one of us fall into this category, but it's just the reality of where we are today is that we are struggling relationally. Come on. Let me prove it to you. I want you right now in your mind to tell me within the church, godly men and women, where God intends for you to get grace and to thrive in him, within the church, in the context of the church body, I want you to list for me your top friends, your best friends. Come on, in your mind right now. Everyone do it? Everyone there. When you got it, say got it. Okay, now listen, let me help you out. I'm not just talking about acquaintances. I'm not just talking about, oh, I know so-and-so, and I think their name is. I'm not talking about acquaintances. I'm talking about friends. Pete, I call it, you've heard me talk about 2 a.m. friends. Like people you can call at 2 a.m. with whatever's going on in your life, like those kinds of deep family, a brother that, a friend that sticks closer than a brother kind of friend, than a sister kind of friend. Like, listen, give me those friends, okay? Now, here's what statistics tell us, is that 10 years ago, everybody can name about 5 to 6 of those types of friends, just quickly. You just rattle them off. But today, according to the American Sociological Review, we're at a place where most people can barely name one. Some of us can name none. And that's just where we are today. And I think it's a reality. So here we are up front, preaching about the importance of relationships and talking about how we need one another. And you got to have those kind of 2 a.m. friends. You got to have the kind of people you could talk to about anything at any time. You have to have that in your life. You can't grow spiritually if you're not growing relationally. You can't thrive spiritually unless you're thriving relationally. But then we go to take the temperature of the church, and we are struggling relationally. It's not just in the church. It's just society in general. We've become awkward in relationships a little bit. Like we don't know how to do this thing really well. And there's a lot of things playing into it. But I mean, how many times you show up somewhere and it's a group of students gathered together and they're doing, every one of them is just like this. And then what do they do? We're hanging out, texting each other. Hey, You're like, right there, bro. What are we doing? And so all of a sudden, and listen to me, I'm not picking on I'm not saying social media, everyone just go and let's go. Remember the days we used to burn our CDs? Come on, everybody. Like, you grew up in church, Pastor Trey, remember? We had a good old CD burning like type of thing. We gave our life to. I'm not saying let's all go, bail on our social media accounts. All I'm saying is, listen, there's something happening in society where we're gravitating toward less than. Like, there's something sugary about this. You know, it's like cotton candy. I taste it, and it's like, oh, and they kind of a little rush. Why? Because we're built for relationships. We like that little interaction. They're going to like it. They're going to heart it. They're going to this. But listen, it's sugar. It's sugar. It's sugar. If it's all you have, it's going to make you sick. If your relationships are, oh, here's how many friends I have, and here's on Instagram, that's going to make you sick. You need every now and then not the cotton candy of social media. You need the good, come on, meat and potatoes of sitting down, talking life, looking you in the eyes. Let's spend some time, give you the hug. I'm in a crew, and we're doing this thing called life together. You see, I need this meat and potatoes. But the reality is we're struggling with it. In the body of Christ. And if I could do anything for us today is to say, listen, you need relationships. The grace you need is tucked in other people. Your growth is found in the context of other people. We're not really good at doing this other people thing. Can I just help you out a little bit? Jesus, what are we supposed to do? How do we do this thing called relationships? We got to figure this out. You with me? God, what do I do? How do I mine the gold in this gold mine? How do I do this? In order to mine the gold, I'm going to say something really cheesy, but hopefully remember it. To mine the gold in the gold mine, God gave us the golden rule. To mine the gold, you got the golden rule. To mine the gold, you got the golden rule. Here's what I want you to remember. Like, you're going, I just feel like I need some substance. I feel like I need, I, and I'm telling you, you do. You need the gold that's in this room. But if you're going to mine the gold that's in this room, golden rule. Well, what's the golden rule? Jesus said this over in the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 31. Jesus said this, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And at first blush, you read that and you think, how's that going to help me in my relationships? How am I going to get mine the gold with the golden rule? That doesn't make a lot of sense. Well, let me help you real quick. Here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I want you to take a blank page. Okay, everyone in your mind, just real quick, a blank page. Anyone got their blank page? Come here with me. And I want you on that page to list out everything you want in a friend. So help me out, church, real quick. What's on your list? Come on, give me a couple things. Anybody? Honesty. Come on, let me go. Respect. What? Kindness. What? Trust. Anything else? Faithfulness. You want filled the spirit. Come on. Love. You want, come on. You make your list. Make your list. And you just go down. You know, it's interesting. In preparation for this, I went and studied a lot of lists. And there's actually lists that all of us agree on. We all want somebody who's trustworthy. Amen? I need to be able to trust you. We all want somebody who's loyal. We all want somebody who's honest, right? Tell me what it is you think I want to hear. Tell me what it is, right? We want honesty. Come on, we all want, how many are with me? We all want somebody who's a little bit of fun, right? I just want to have fun with you. And so we make our list. And here's what the golden rule does. He says, you make your list. Now, don't go and post your list looking for a friend who's honest. Looking for a friend who's trustworthy and loyal. I'm looking for some fun people. He says, listen, you want to learn how to mine the gold that's in this gold mine? Don't go post your list. Be your list. Jesus says, listen, go, don't post it. Do it. So if you want, I'm going to help us. You want a friend who's trustworthy? Be a friend who's trustworthy. Jesus says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Why? Because you got to build trust. You want a friend who's loyal? Be loyal. See, John Maxwell talks about, it's called in his 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. talks about what's called the law of attraction. Here's what the law of attraction says, is that you don't attract what you want, you attract who you are. So how many business owners out here, you're like, man, I want some employees that have some good work ethic. I want some employees that make your list, show up on time. Well then, be a boss who's got good work ethic. Be a boss who shows up on time. People do what they see. They're attracted to like kind, you see. So Jesus says, listen, here's how we do this. I break the principle down for you like this. You go first. Because I tell you what, that's a different mentality. It's a healthy mentality. It'll change your life mentality. Someone say, you go first. I think we get into environments and we do this. Come on, please walk with me for a second here. We get into environments, and this is how the enemy, every time I hear this, I go, that's demonic. It is Satan trying to mess with you. You show up and you go, in an environment like this, well, I wish somebody would talk to me. I wish somebody would notice me. I thought they were a friend. I wish they would text me. Don't they know what's happening in my life? I wish they would text me. I wish they would call me. And listen, I'm not downplaying because I've done it. I've done it. But you know what that is? It's the enemy pushing you away from the very thing you need. Because when you live out the golden rule, now I show up instead of going, I wish someone would talk to me. You go, guess what? I'm someone. And maybe I should talk to someone. Man, I wish someone would text me. Well, I'm someone. And I bet I could text someone. Hey, I wish they'd invite me. I wish they would call me. Well, I could invite someone. I could call someone. You see, think about it. I know I'm hitting us because so many of us struggle with this. Now imagine if the church body showed up and everybody was waiting for someone. Everybody's just waiting for someone. What do you have? You have a lot of people standing around doing this. Everyone waiting for someone. But what if you flipped it and we said, hey, everybody, golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. You show up and you go, you know what? I'm not waiting on someone. I'm going to be someone. I'm going to step out and love someone. I'm going to care for someone. I'm going to pray for someone. Say hello to someone. I'm going to invite someone. And all of a sudden you have this community of people. See, it breaks it loose, right? Because now we're taking the grace on our life, the gift on our life, what God's given us in life, and we're bringing it to the other people around our life. And we start doing this thing called community. Jesus says, listen, golden rule, you go first. The most unhealthy environments in the world are people waiting on people. Some of you are you're in a marriage like that, where a husband's waiting on a wife. Well, I will, and she... You know, and I'd love her if she'd respect me. There's no respect, and therefore, and the wife's over there going, well, I'd respect him if he just loved me. If he wants me to respect him, he needs to love me. And he's stuck in this vicious cycle. And scripture just shows up and breaks the cycle in the marriage and in the church and in the enemy's plot to cripple the church. And he goes, hey, buddy, why don't you just go first? Why don't you put yourself out there? The golden rule. So now listen, take your list. You got your list? Go first. And I don't know what you have on your list, but I want to focus on one in the time we have left. Because I think we've got a lot of good things on our list. Trustworthy, loyal, dependent. But did you know that God actually puts two things at the top of our list? I'll cover one right now. Next week I'll talk about the other one. But he says if you're really going to do this thing called community, you've got to have one thing at the top of your list. Did you see it over in the book of 1 Peter? Above all, what did he tell us? The end is all near, therefore be sober and alert that you may pray. And when it comes to your relationships with others, hey, here's what you put at the list. Above all, in other words, first priority, love each other deeply. Anyone want a loving friend? God says you got to be a loving friend. And church, we got to figure this out. If we are going to thrive as a community, love needs to mark this community in every way. And then Jesus in Scripture, the Holy Spirit says, here's what that looks like. work on this aspect of love first and foremost. Love each other deeply, for love covers a multitude of sins. What Scripture's saying is, if you're going to thrive as a community and you're really going to mine the gold that's all around you in this place, love has got to be, you got to go first in love. You put yourself out there in love. And what does it look like? It covers a multitude of sins. Oh, come on, everybody. Are you encouraged? What is he saying? He's going, hey, know this, warning, as you get into this thing, there's going to be a multitude of sins. Hey, as you get close to people, you're going to find out they're not perfect people. Hey, as you start, you know, showing up to crews, and, you know, at church we keep talking, everyone join a crew, you join a crew, and you get in the crew, and you realize, wait, they're a mess. The people are making a mess. And Scripture says you need to let love cover a multitude of sins. In other words, you're going to show up and go, oh, all these people are a mess. And Scripture's going, and so are you. And so if this is going to thrive, the community, you got to show up, get around people who are going to do dumb things. And you just got to know that going into it. Because you're one of the ones who's probably going to do a dumb thing. And there's got to be this thing called love. Love. And what does love do? It covers a multitude of sins. Okay, everybody get church. Here's the posture of our church right now. I want to ask you to posture your hearts like this with one another. Love covers a multitude of sins. Proverbs 10:12 says this. Hatred, what does hatred do? Stirs up conflict. But love covers all wrong. Hatred, it stirs it up. You get around people like that? You know anyone like that? Come on, don't point, don't name names. But they just stir it up, just constantly stirring it up. Just constantly, you know, there's issues. They're constantly hurt and frustrated. And did you hear? And did you see? And did you know? And hey, listen, warning, careful. Watch out. That's what hatred does. That's the opposite of what God's called us to do. It happens, I just be honest with you, it happens. I hear it on occasion. As a pastor of citizens, I'll have other people show up to our church and they can't wait to introduce themselves to me, and they come up, and not everyone can't wait. I'm not saying that, but some people you can tell can't wait because what they want to do is tell you how much they love your church. And so they'll get me up to Pastor Chris, just so glad we found this church, and da 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 da. You know, because, well, you know, I was going over to this other church and they just don't. And they this, and the pastor there, and did you hear? And I literally every single time will stop them and go, I love that church, and I love those people. Matter of fact, that pastor and I are really good friends. Why do I do that? Because hatred stirs up. Man, you say, did you? And I can't believe, and they're just not. And but love, it just goes, multitude, I'm just going to cover. Just someone say cover. I'm going to cover it. Because here's what I know. I'm just going to warn you right now. If someone comes to me talking about other people, it's only time before they're talking to other people about me. Like if you are coming here going, well, this, and you're just stirring it up, pretty soon you're going to be stirring it up here. Why? Because let me just help you, church. I mean, something's going to offend you at some point. Somebody's going to do something wrong at some point. And if you don't learn this, well, then you're going to go from that to that to that to that. You never anchored. You never grow in relationship. You never develop what God wants you to develop because you're always hurt and you're always this and you're always that and you're always flighty. You always run. But God says, no, not in you. You love. You put down anchor. You, come on. How? You got to let love cover. Love covers it. It doesn't make it right, does it? It covers it. Church, you okay with me? That means we can't, if we're going to develop genuine, healthy relationships, we can't bail on relationships the moment that love is supposed to kick in. Love kicks in when the going gets tough. You know, the world right now is caught up in labeling, dividing, pitting everyone against somebody. The world's caught up in canceling this and canceling that. And what I'm afraid of is this attitude gets into the church, and all of a sudden, I can't believe them, and I can't believe that. And we adopt this attitude of the church, of the world, where it's just merciless. But God says, no, not in my house. My house is to be a house of mercy. And what does mercy do? Mercy covers. Mercy covers. Mercy is showing kindness and goodness to people regardless of what they might deserve. The word in Hebrew literally means it overwhelms sin, love does. It overwhelms it. In other words, it wins out. It overpowers sin. It's not that it ignores it and doesn't see the hurt, but it wins out over the hurt. It doesn't just carry the hurt. It doesn't just remain hurt. Do you follow that? It overwhelms the hurt. Love comes in and rushes over and washes over all of it. Now, I know when I say that, there's a whole lot of us who are struggling right now because you've thought your whole life that a Christian's job was to judge everything. You thought your job was to be critical. You thought your job was to be the one out sniffing what's wrong in everybody's life so you can point out to them what's wrong in their life. You thought your job was not to be merciful, but judgmental. Because, my goodness, how are people going to grow unless I judge them? How many of you grew up in the church? How many of you grew up in the church? Awesome, right? You're the worst of all of them. Right? Listen, it's not like they offer classes on how to be judgmental. Oh, but we're really good at it. Pastor Chris, do you know? Right? We see it. We know the Ten Commandments and everybody who's breaking them, right? And we've got our lists. But here's what mercy does. What love does is it buries the list. Now, some of you struggle with that because you're going, Chris, I don't get it. Like, I can't just go around ignoring all of it. Can we? I just can't act like it's not there. Well, what does Jesus say? And here's what I want you to understand. Here's what mercy looks like. You got the top of your list. Here's what we're going to be, is merciful. How do we be merciful in the context of people that keep doing wrong things? Maybe you've hurt me. How do we do it? Here's what Jesus says. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 2, Jesus says this, in the same way that you judge, so just before this, Jesus says, judge not or you will be judged. Okay, judge not. How many of you heard that? Judge not. It's all the people who feel like they're judged. They always say, judge not. Judge not or you will be judged. Jesus' point isn't you're never allowed to form an opinion or that you're never allowed to have a judgment. He says, judge not. Then he says, or you will be judged. So in other words, he's saying you can judge, but know that when you judge, you too are going to be judged. Does that make sense? So he's teaching you mercy right now. And here's what he says. And in the same manner that you judge others, you will be judged. And with the same measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. How do we do mercy in the body of Christ? Listen, before you go and judge somebody else, remember that the way you judge them is the way you're going to be judged. The way you dish it out to them is the way it's going to be dished back out to you. By who? It doesn't tell us. Is God doing that? Or is the other ones, the people doing that? It doesn't tell us. He just said, I want you to think about this. What's Jesus' point? His point isn't don't form an opinion. His point isn't don't ignore everything. His point is don't be all judgmental about everything. His point is don't have a critical spirit. His point is, listen, practice mercy. Practice letting love cover a multitude of sins. When you go to confront something or deal with something that's been done to you, remember the golden rule. And the golden rule is what? Do unto them as I would have them do unto me. How do you want to be judged? I tell you how I want to be judged. I want a lot of love. I want a lot of grace. Come on, I want a lot of mercy. Can I invite you out to lunch? Because at lunch, I want to tell you everything that led up to that moment. I know I made a really bad decision, and I know I've been a little absent, and I know that maybe, but I need you to hear, this is what I've been going through, and this is, what am I trying to do? I want to get out of you a whole lot of mercy and grace. I want you to know all the aspects of everything I've been dealing with. I want you to hear it all. Why? So that your love would overwhelm my sin, so that your love would wash over my mistakes. I'm just wanting to get that out of you. And here's what Jesus says. Listen, before you go and just lay blame on someone and cast judgment, know that there's a story there. Know that there's a person there who needs your mercy right now more than ever. When your kids, come on, how many of you got some kids that do some things they shouldn't do every now and then? When your kid does that and you have a conversation with them about it, you confront them on their thing. Do they ever give you a yes? Like, in other words, Elias' son, when he was young, like, did you rip Barbie's head off your sister? Sister, did you do that? How many of you know you don't get a yes or no answer? It's never like, what do they do? They go, Dad, you see, what do you get? A story. And they want you, why? Because they want to bring you into it. Well, here's what, I was just innocent in the room, and I was playing with the G.I. Joes, and they were fighting with Barbie and Barbie. There's a whole story. Why? Because it just, they're saying, I know I messed up, but listen, can you let love wash over this? Church, listen, for this to work, love has got to wash over it. Love has got to wash over it. Mercy's got to wash over it. Mercy, and I'm not saying you don't ever address things or deal with things, but as you go to deal with things, love has got to wash over it. So how's that happen? I love the illustration Jesus used, the picture he uses as the worship team comes up. Jesus says, here's what you do, church, because we're going to get really good at relationships. Here's what you do. Jesus says in the book of Matthew, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and don't attend to the plank that's in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your eye? He goes on to say this, you hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that's in your brother's eye. Here's the illustration Jesus gives us. When you're dealing with other people, and when you're dealing with hurt, and when you're dealing with the fact that you've been wronged, and when you're dealing with the fact that people are just people, don't hide from people, lean in with mercy toward people. And how do you have that mercy? He says, when you notice a speck in your brother's eye, don't get all just flustered and mad about the speck in their eye, and you're gonna go, I'm gonna tell them, and I'm gonna put them in their place, and I'm gonna, Jesus says, do this first. Come here. I need you to look in the mirror. Jesus says, you need to take the plank that's out of your own eye. Get this big plank in your eye. And there's a little speck in your eye. He's like this. You know, I can't believe. And he asks the question, how can you help your brother when you got a plank in your own eye? The answer is, you can't. You can't even get close enough because you got a plank in your eye. So Jesus says, I need you to deal with that first. So here's how it happens. You come before the Lord. All right, God, you know, I've been noticing some things. Went to Crew last week, and church kept telling me I needed to go to Crew, but I went to Crew, and there's that person, and they said that thing, and it really hurt me, and I can't believe, and I'm never going to Crew again. But God, I you know, the fill in the blank. The person at work that's supposed to love you, I heard them, God. They were talking this way, and they shouldn't be talking that way, and I can't believe, I ought to get on Facebook and tell them that. God says, but hold up. Before you go there, come here. Some say, come here. I didn't come here. And he says, what I want you to do right here is just look in the mirror and do business with me. All right. So God, I can't believe they're acting that way, and I can't wait to go put them in their place and deal with this. But before I do, you told me to come here. And all right, Lord, is there anything in me? God, is there any place where I might not be doing this right? And what you're going to find is as you're sitting before God, that in the line of people who need mercy and grace and forgiveness, and you could put me at the front because I don't have it all together. And you know what? I sometimes say dumb things, and I sometimes do wrong things, and I'm not all that. And here's what God intends to happen, is that you sit before him and you realize that you are in such need of his mercy and grace in your own life. You sit before God and you realize that you're broken. And what it does is it humbles you, doesn't it? Because I'm taking the plank out of my own eye, my own issues. Jesus said, hey, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Remember, woman caught in the act of adultery. Jesus, should we throw rocks? Oh, Christians, we just love throwing rocks, don't we? Everyone's lined up. Let's throw rocks. And Jesus says, okay, hold up. Before you throw rocks, let me ask you something. Here's who gets to go first. The one who's without sin. What does it say? It says that one by one, they begin to leave the party. They put down their rocks. Why? Because they realized, who am I to throw a rock? I've got my own stuff. And I need from Jesus mercy. I need from others mercy. And so we get up from this place, having been humbled, broken before God, and we look back over at our brother or sister. And I think you're going to see it in a whole different light. Because that conversation that you were about to have and the thing you were about to say is going to look a whole lot different, isn't it? Because now I'm going to look over and maybe I'm going to realize, you know what, that conversation doesn't actually need to happen at all, because the issue wasn't really with them. The issue was with me. I was projecting it onto them, and I couldn't believe that they, and I couldn't, but the reality was I'm the one who's been absent, and I'm the one who's been acting, and I'm the one who hasn't, it's some on me too, and I still want to talk to them, but when I go to talk to them, if I even need to talk to them, come on, because some things I just got to, it's just grace. My dad always used to say, just water off a duck's back. You can't drown a duck. It's just, there's all this stuff coming. I'm just like, nah, forgive people. Just forgive people. But if I do have to have a conversation, I'm going to go and it's going to look a lot different. Why? Because now I'm not coming in on my high horse, all high and mighty, talking down at you. I'm coming in alongside you to help lift you up. You see, I'm not pushing you down. I'm lifting you up. I'm going, hey, listen, there's this thing. And trust me, I've got my own things. But I think that if we don't deal with the speck, it's going to hurt. How do I know? I just took a plank out of my eye. And so can we talk about the conversation is different. You see, it's filled with grace. It's filled with mercy. And church, listen, if we're ever going to do this the way that God has called us to do this, we have got to be a people committed to mercy. God said, let my house, and we will, church, amen, be a house of mercy. Mercy. What's it look like? Love covering, and covering, and covering, and washing over all the things that could potentially hurt us. We let love and mercy win the day. Someone say, it starts with me. It starts with me. It starts with me. It starts with me. And it starts with me being loving, being merciful to the people that God's put around me. It's the only way that this thing works. It's what God put at the top of his list when it comes to what friendships look like. How do we do it? Last verse. 1 John 4:19. We love, how? Because he first loved us. How do I extend mercy to others? You get yourself underneath the mercy that God's extended to you. How do I love others well? I get myself under the fact that God has loved me well. How do I forgive others? What does Jesus say? You're to forgive others in the same way that I've forgiven you. You see, I receive the love and the mercy and the forgiveness of Jesus so that I can then go extend the love and mercy and forgiveness of Jesus to all those that God has put around me. This is a gold mine. And to mine the gold, you need the golden rule. We go first in Jesus' name. Amen, church. Would you pray with me? Come on, amen.